Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
New this morning, an update to our severe weather threat for tomorrow. It's now a level one risk for the entire viewing area. We can still see wind damage. I'll walk you through the timeline.
Well, so Johnston County Road is back open this morning after this deadly fiery crash. Now crews are headed back out to that scene this morning to clean up a large amount of gas that spilled.
And environmentalists are calling this a huge breakthrough that can help protect human health. Coming up, an announcement today in Fayetteville about keeping drinking water safe. It is 6 o'clock and it is time to rise and shine. I don't want to hear about any groaning or complaining. All right, let's get Wednesday started. I'm Renee Chu.
I'm Jeff Hoagie. Thanks for making us part of your Wednesday here. So that downgrade overnight of our severe weather threat for tomorrow, it doesn't look any better on radar here. Elizabeth Gardner with a look from the WR Severe Weather Center.
It definitely does not. We continue to see a lot of severe storms down here across Texas and the Deep South, including Louisiana. We also have a brand new tornado warning that just popped up there in Mississippi. So this is an ongoing severe threat for folks down to our south and west. We're seeing the warm front lifting northward up across our area, and it brought us a few sprinkles early this morning. We take a look at live Doppler 5000 radar. For the most part, the showers are not happening right now, but could. We could see an isolated shower this morning. A little better chance of some rain right around the middle of the day, and then we may see some sunshine by the time we get to the evening commute. Let's walk through that on Futurecast. Here's a look at the warm front lifting northward. Below that warm front by lunchtime, a few isolated showers roll through. By mid to late afternoon, we may see a peak of sunshine and a little break in the precipitation. But the main event happens tomorrow, most likely right around lunchtime. There's 9 a.m. starting to see that rain back to the west. It's sitting over us by noon. So at 10 or 11 o'clock, it starts to move into our western counties. And this is when we'll have the best chance of severe storm. We still have the threat for wind damage. And even before and after that line of thunderstorms, we can see winds gusting 35 to 40 miles per hour. The front itself comes through around midnight, and that could also bring a small chance for thunderstorms. But we still have that threat for wind damage when this moves through around the middle of the day to mid-afternoon. Heavy rain and hail. The system's produced a lot of hail in its path as well. Right now, it's a quiet morning for us. We take a live look at Zebulon. It's warm out, 61 degrees. We have a southwest wind at 7 miles per hour around the triangle. We'll see temperatures at lunchtime in the low 70s. And with a peak of sunshine this afternoon, we should make it into the mid 70s. If you want it even warmer, hold on. We have some 80s in the forecast to show you in just a bit, Brett.
Thanks, Elizabeth. I'm looking forward to that. And it is 6:02 here on a Wednesday. I'm Brett Neeson for Brian Trader, and we have good news across the board. A lot of green on our map, which is good news. 440, the Beltline looking good. 540 as well. And over in Durham, the Durham Freeway in both directions right now is clear. Let's look at 540 at Lewisburg Road. That's our live camera there. You can see a little bit of 540 and the overpass that's right there at Lewisburg Road. A few cars out there already here as the 6 o'clock hour gets rolling along. We'll continue to check in on things and let you know if any trouble spots pop up.
Brett, thank you. New this morning, the Biden administration is releasing new standards for protecting our drinking water from contamination. It's all about forever chemicals known as PFAS, which can come with serious health risks. WRL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live from the Cape Fear River in Fayetteville. And Kelsey, the head of the EPA, will also be there. Renee, he sure will. And we're just hours away from learning more about new regulations that could protect you and your family from toxic chemicals in the water you drink. Those are the same type of chemicals that were found here in the Cape Fear River back in 2017. The water that comes out of your faucet at home could be harmful to your health. This morning, new federal regulations for forever chemicals, or PFAS, will be announced. Research shows those chemicals have been linked to cancer, liver damage, and developmental problems in children. At least 45% of the nation's tap water has those chemicals in it. That's according to a federal study last year. The new regulations will set limits for five types of forever chemicals. North Carolina is receiving $29 million in grants to help with testing and upgrading water treatment.
And we're setting a science-based standard to limit this source of contamination in folks' water supply, which is absolutely critical to protect public health.
The governor and the attorney general will be present at today's announcement with the EPA administrator, and that announcement will happen today here in Fayetteville at 10:30. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Fayetteville.
State DOT and Environmental Services will be in Johnston County today to clean up the gasoline remaining after a fiery tanker truck crash. NC-39 reopened just before 1:30 this morning after a head-on collision closed it for more than 8 hours. One person is dead after the crash with the tanker truck. This is video of the scene as firefighters tried to put out the flames that engulfed the vehicles. It happened on Highway 39 in the Wilson's Mills community just after 5 o'clock. Diesel fuel and gasoline spilled all over the highway after the crash. When firefighters got to the scene, there was a huge fire. They used foam to control it. The Antioch fire chief says the driver of the tanker truck was not hurt. The driver of the sedan died from their injuries.
Today, business leaders and the Raleigh community will share their big dreams for the future of downtown. The forum is a chance to get ideas big and small onto the table. WRL's Laura Levine joins us live from the Marbles Kids Museum in downtown Raleigh. Laura, there are a lot of folks signed up to speak at this event.
Good morning, Jeff. Yes, there are. And you know what? The city of Raleigh, they want to know your big ideas, your big dream for this area. Right now, we are right in front of the Marbles Museum where this event is taking place. But this area near Moore Square is just one piece in this equation. The first focus of the economic development strategy is Fayetteville Street. 10 major ideas were presented as the initial result of close collaboration with the local residents, business owners, property owners, and other stakeholders. The president and CEO of the Downtown Raleigh Alliance, Bill King, tells me they've been working on this plan for the last year, and community feedback is a major component to move forward. Since COVID, they've been working to address the downtown retail and office markets, advancing and supporting minority and women-owned businesses, and identifying other projects.
And we're seeing positive momentum, but we really want to set a vision for the future that sort of deals with the realities of, you know, post-pandemic life, but also looks at our strengths and moves us forward. And so part of our study looks at what's the next big idea for downtown. What's that big thing that could really, or things that could really elevate downtown Raleigh?
So more than 100 people have signed up to speak at this event today. The DRA will compile a lot of this information, the feedback, and put it into its study, which will be complete by mid-summer. The event begins at 4:30. Laura Levine, WRL News, we're live in Raleigh.
We've learned the 82nd Airborne pilot who was badly injured in a drone strike on Christmas Day is now out of a coma. Garrett Illerbrunn will be transferred to a long-term rehab facility just up the road in Richmond, Virginia. The facility is run by Veterans Affairs. A spokesperson for the family tells us he still can't walk or talk, can't even feed himself. But as you can see in these pictures, he can open his eyes and is able to give some physical cues. Illerbrunn turned 41 on Sunday. With mounting expenses and a long road ahead, the family's GoFundMe page is still active.
This morning, we're seeing more photos of London Devon. Fayetteville police say she and her adopted brother, Blake, have been missing for years. It wasn't until recently that they were reported missing. WRL talked to a woman who says she is London's biological mother. As she describes it, she's numb. She didn't want to interview on camera, but Sherry Foster did share these photos from various stages of London Devon's life. Sherry Foster says she hasn't seen or heard from her daughter since around 2001. It's unclear how London looks now at age 27. As for the disappearance, Foster says she didn't even learn about it until last week.
Today, we'll learn more about the effort to find a new superintendent for Durham Public Schools. The school board will hold a special meeting at 4 o'clock this afternoon for an update on the search. DPS is working to replace Pascal Mubenga, who resigned in February. Caddy Moore has been serving as interim superintendent. North Carolina has made significant progress on testing rape kits. Attorney General Josh Stein's office announced the state's rape kit backlog is over. The crime lab receives about 2,200 rape kits every year, and for decades, they didn't have enough scientists to process them all. That left more than 16,000 evidence kits untested. In 2019, the lab started work on a project to process that backlog while still handling their current caseload. They've caught up and they've already made more than 100 arrests in cold cases.
Durham Mayor Leo Williams took the stage for his first State of the City address, accompanied by North Carolina Central's drumline. The speech remained upbeat from there. Williams described Durham as stronger than ever, despite its challenges. In his talk, Mayor Williams said one way to achieve affordable living is to make the best decisions with city-owned land. He's talking specifically about the old site of the Durham Police Station. It's a prime piece of real estate in the Bull City. 505 West Chapel Hill Street is surrounded by a chain-link fence, overgrown grass, and rusted stairs. Williams offered his vision to transform that property.
This city-owned land, we can provide housing options at every level, and we can provide beautiful open space and retail and commercial. We have so many options. I want you to trust us and allow us to make the best decision on behalf of the city.
Mayor Williams asks for grace while city leaders work through figuring out what to do with the land. Back in November, we reported that six developers are hoping to get their hands on the property. 610 now, coming up at a time of very high tension in the Middle East, Triangle area Muslims are turning to prayer. Hear how one woman is claiming to create an atmosphere of joy during Eid al-Fitr.
Also coming up, Renee, Boeing facing new allegations this morning. What a whistleblower is claiming about the manufacturing of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner.
And it's a cloudy but mild morning. We have a chance of some showers around the middle of the day. But tomorrow is still a WRAL weather alert day. We do have an update to our severe weather threat. We can still see some damaging wind. And I'll show you the timeline.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Let's kick it off with Dual Doppler 5000 radar. Back over across the triad, there are a few showers that just started to show up on the radar again. We can see a little bit of light patchy rain this morning, a better chance of some scattered showers closer to lunchtime, and then it looks pretty dry for us during the afternoon. Let's take a look at what's happening across the area right now. We have a live look at Durham, 61, Raleigh's at 61, and 60 degrees in Fayetteville. It is mostly cloudy, and we could see a few light showers this morning. So heading out the door, the umbrella will feel like something you should take along with you, and you may need a jacket, but nothing heavy out there. Our rain chances bump up a little bit right around lunchtime because our warm front's moving across the area. And then by this afternoon, we may see a little bit of sunshine. Highs will be in the mid-70s. Brett?
Thanks, Elizabeth. Let's take a look at traffic right now. Green across the board, which is really good news. 440 looking good. 540 looking good as well. Coming in from the Wake Forest area on US 1 southbound. No delays right now. Let's look at the Beltline itself. If you're trying to get to Wade Avenue from 87, Knightdale area, just a 1 minute delay. Nothing to worry about out there right now. Here's our live look at US 1 at Walnut Street. And there's a few cars there coming in from the Apex and Cary area. But other than that, we are delay free. Jeff.
Brett, thanks. This morning, more than 7,000 people in our Muslim community will gather to pray and celebrate Eid al-Fitr, a religious holiday that marks the end of Ramadan, a month of fasting, prayer, and reflection. Thousands will gather in Dorton Arena on the NC State Fairgrounds. There'll be services at 7:30, 9:30, and 11:30 this morning. One woman from the Islamic Association of Raleigh says this is a way to reflect on the ongoing war in Gaza and conflict in Sudan.
But we still try to create an atmosphere of joy and hope and optimism, particularly for the youth, because troubled times happen, but eventually those end, and we look forward to the time when we are in a happier situation again.
The Islamic Association of Raleigh will host Eid Fest on Saturday as well. There'll be traditional foods, fun activities for kids, and local vendors. It'll be at the association's building on Atwater Street in Raleigh.
This morning, more drama for Boeing. Another whistleblower has come forward claiming there are manufacturing problems with Boeing's 787 Dreamliner. WRL's Ken Smith is here now with the new allegations Boeing is facing. Ken.
Renee, these allegations were made by a former Boeing quality engineer who worked at the same South Carolina Boeing plant where another whistleblower worked. These latest claims indicate the 787 Dreamliner was improperly fastened together, and over time, that could cause premature fatigue failure that could lead to the aircraft breaking apart after many thousands of flights. Boeing claims the 787 should fly for 40 to 50 years if the aircraft is properly maintained, but these allegations are getting the FAA's attention.
He is alleging that Boeing knowingly took a series of manufacturing shortcuts in the construction of the 787.
Well, these claims come after two deadly Boeing MAX 9 crashes overseas and the MAX 9 door plug blowout in January. Boeing insists the 787 Dreamliner is safe and has undergone intense stress testing. About 1,100 of these aircraft are now in service. Now, the airlines now operating the 787 Dreamliner include United, American, and British Airways. All these issues involving Boeing are expected to be part of a congressional hearing next week. Coming up on today, the Today Show will take a closer look at the 787 Dreamliner. That's coming up right after our newscast right here.
Ken, thank you. The Durham Bulls scored 28 runs during their game in Allentown, Pennsylvania. That's a new International League record. The two-run homer by the Bulls in the ninth inning was 27 and 28 runs of the night. The Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs scored only 10 runs for the night. Every batter for the Bulls scored at least two runs. Way to go, Bulls. Maybe do it again here at the DPAP. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center tracking our impacts for tomorrow's WRL Weather Alert Day. Our severe weather risk downgraded, but still a huge concern.
Absolutely. We can still see damaging winds and hail out of the system. Heavy rain is possible as well. The timeline is going to be Thursday, starting around the middle of the day, continuing through the afternoon. And then we'll have the potential for some thunderstorms through the evening. And of course, this covers the entire viewing area. Here's a look at what's likely to happen. It is a WRL Weather Alert Day. We have a level one risk for damaging winds across the entire viewing area. And even outside of the storms, it's going to be very windy. Winds are going to be gusting 30 to 40 miles per hour. And that can cause, you know, some trash cans to be blown around, some limbs to come down. But with some of these storms, we can see winds gusting up to 58 miles per hour. So we'll be watching for that very closely. Let's pan back over here and take a look at what's happening across parts of Texas and Louisiana. This is the same spot that was seeing the severe storms yesterday with this same system. So it's a very slow mover. Eventually, this will move closer to our viewing area. We actually have the warm front lifting north across our area right now, and that warm front's going to help to provide some showers for us as we get through the morning into around the middle of the day. A little bit of light patchy rain just starting to show up again just north of High Point and Greensboro. We'll likely see that moving across our area. We're not looking at anything heavy for the morning commute, just a few light sprinkles out there. This is a look at our level one risk for the entire viewing area for tomorrow. We're going to walk through the timeline of these storms, but again, damaging winds, some heavy rain. With a level two risk, you typically have the potential for a few tornadoes. You can't rule it out with a level one risk, but it does lower that risk just a little bit. We're looking at that warm front lifting northward. Notice late morning into lunchtime, a few isolated showers. But by the afternoon, we may see a few holes in the clouds, a little bit of sunshine to wrap up the day for us, and we should dry out by the middle of the afternoon. And then here comes the main event with the system. That's likely to arrive by lunchtime. By noon, we're looking at these thunderstorms sitting across our area. This is where we'd have the best chance of the severe storms, and that continues through around the middle of the afternoon. By 5 o'clock, the rain is scattered, and then the cold front swings through overnight. But behind it, we may still see a few sprinkles in our northern counties during the day on Friday. And Friday's going to be a windy day, not just tomorrow, but Friday as well. Both days, we'll see winds gusting anywhere from 30 to almost 40 miles per hour. Those winds should settle down a little bit more by Saturday. How much rain are we looking for? Well, this version of Futurecast backed us off to about half an inch, but I still feel like when that rain comes through, we have the potential maybe for some pockets of up to an inch. It's a 30% chance today, mostly around the middle of the day. And then, of course, by midday tomorrow, we're looking at that line of thunderstorms and a few sprinkles lingering on Friday. Saturday and Sunday look fantastic. A lot of fun events happening this time of year. One of those is Peak City Pig Fest, and we are a proud partner. It looks lovely. 11 o'clock, 61 on Saturday, and at 6 p.m., 70 degrees. It's going to be a great weekend to be out and about at the Apex Peak City Pig Fest or wherever you're headed. Again, tomorrow's our WRL Weather Alert Day. We're a little bit cooler on Friday. And then by Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, our high temperatures are back into the 80s, Brett.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Let's take a look at traffic. 621 here on your Wednesday morning. A lot of green on our map, which is good news. The Beltline is in the clear on both directions. Coming in from the Johnson County area and in through Garner on I-40 westbound. Not looking like you have any delays right now, which is really good news. Look at the Durham Freeway. Delay-free in both directions on 885. We'll let you know if that changes throughout the morning. And here's 440 at Capitol Boulevard, our live look there of the Beltline. A few cars out there as traffic volume starts to build here at 621. We'll continue to keep an eye on it and let you know if anything changes.
Brett, thanks. It's been 5 years since the first Joker hit theaters and Joaquin Phoenix took home awards for his performance. Now we're getting a glimpse at the sequel and Lady Gaga in the role of Joker's sidekick, Harley Quinn.
And here's a look at your NC Education winning lottery numbers.
This What's Trending report, sponsored by Rug and Home.
We're finally getting a glimpse of the Joker sequel.
A new trailer that came out gives us a sneak peek of Lady Gaga in her long-awaited debut as Harley Quinn.
What the world needs now is a love, sweet love.
Wow, that music just adds to that whole vibe, doesn't it? The trailer starts with Joaquin Phoenix's character in Arkham Asylum, where he meets Lady Gaga's Harley Quinn. And the two plan to break out of the asylum, and the trailer later shows them dance in the streets of Gotham. Joker Folie à Deux's release date is October 4th, so get ready for the madness for two. Joaquin Phoenix was great in the first Joker, and you add Lady Gaga in this one, it's a must-see.
You've
probably
got bad romance. That's what you've got.
Yes,
for
you do.
It was disturbing, to put it mildly, the first time around. But
that's a good way to describe
it. They put Lady Gaga in there and said she is magic. So,
well,
cannot wait. We're also getting a glimpse of the real rock star workouts of Lenny Kravitz. He shared this video of himself at the gym. It shows that, well, he is just himself at all times. The Instagram video shows Kravitz doing an intense workout wearing boots, wow, leather pants, and a sheer shirt. And that's how you get abs, folks.
Well, yeah, I guess you have to actually work at them.
Oh,
but do you remember just a few weeks ago, he got the Hollywood Star of Fame, and his daughter, in a speech, roasted him about his sheer shirts. Mm-hmm. So he even wears them when he works out, and the leather pants.
Oh, yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah. That hurts my back just watching it. Goodness, that's a hard exercise.
Well, that's why he looks the way he does.
Gotta be fit.
The loudest house in the NHL has sold out every home game this season. The National Hockey League says the Canes sold out all 41 of their regular season games at PNC Arena. The final one was Sunday. PNC's listed capacity, 18,700. The Canes averaged 18,798 fans per game. The Canes will expect to continue that sellout streak into the Stanley Cup playoffs later this month.
Tomorrow's a WRL weather alert day. We have the potential for damaging winds, heavy rain, and hail. The Storm Prediction Center updated us to a level one risk. And so, of course, we still have that wind damage threat. I'll walk you through the timeline.
And environmentalists are calling this a huge breakthrough in human health. Coming up, an announcement today in Fayetteville about keeping drinking water safe.